Welcome to the America's Workforce Radio Podcast, the flagship production of the American Workers Radio and Podcast Network, where organized labor and its never-ending fight to protect the rights of the American worker come first. Now, presented by LIUNA, Laborers International Union of North America, here's your host, Ed Flash Ferens.
Frosted Flakes, they may be great, but the problem at Kellogg's is greed. 1,400 members on strike today. Meanwhile, good news for the UAW, a tentative deal reached at John Deere. And today on the show, the trial lawyers at Kelly and Ferraro and Senator Sherrod Brown. Welcome to the Thursday, October 7th edition of America's Workforce, where we are available on five platforms. That includes Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Spotify, as well as Pandora. Brian Kelly is going to be our first guest on the show, and he's been on, he told me, at least four times now, and he's one of the many trial lawyers at Kelly and Ferraro, one of the many proud sponsors of this show. Kelly-Ferraro.com. is the website. And a little background on Brian. He joined the firm in 2002. Main practice areas include litigation and workers' comp with families suffering from asbestos-related diseases. He's also involved in class action pharmaceutical claims, nursing home negligence, as well as car accidents. Today, we're going to talk about, number one, the Zantac recall. This is something we've been focusing on for the last probably year and a half now. The probable human carcinogen in Zantac, NDMA, leaches into the soil, contaminating the water. And this chemical was originally developed to aid in the production of rocket fuel. And I always ask the question, how could something like that end up in Zantac? That's something for the pharmaceuticals. But with that being said, because of NDMA, people are suffering from a variety of cancers, including prostate, pancreatic, esophageal, colorectal, liver, and stomach cancer. Those are some of them that they're investigating right now. And Kelly and Ferraro is one of many law firms around the country. It's a class action suit trying to get to the bottom of this. So Brian's going to give us an update on that. And if you're listening to last month's show, we were talking about these CPAP machines. And apparently a number of them are being recalled, made by Philips. Philips Respironics issued a recall for several CPAP machines sold since 2009. Including ventilators, BiPAP, and CPAP devices. And it's due to a risk involving their polyester-based polyurethane foam. The foam could either degrade or release chemicals, which means the device might send these particles into your lungs. Not good. Not good. And there's a list of devices on the Kelly and Ferraro website. If you are listening right now and have one of these machines, you probably should stop using it and call the attorneys at Kelly and Ferraro. So Brian Kelly is going to run all this down. Senator Sherrod Brown will be joining us later in the show. He's one of our regular guests, and he's loaded with all kinds of things. Number one, he introduced recently the bipartisan piece of legislation to provide state and local law enforcement with high-tech devices to detect and identify dangerous drugs like fentanyl. This is called the POWER Act, and POWER stands for Providing Officers with Electronic Resources. And it would establish a new grant program through the Department of Justice to help state and local law enforcement organizations secure these high-tech portable screening devices. He's been traveling around the state talking about infrastructure. That is a huge issue. Last week, they were trying to get it together. Now the problem is raising the debt limit. We'll get into all of that as well. But the infrastructure deal, again, we're talking the bipartisan piece of legislation, which was agreed on by, 19 Republicans. we have that, and then we have reconciliation. That's the problem there, because the progressives want to tie the two together. And recently, Senator Brown made a lot of news. He's on the Senate Banking, Housing, and Urban Affairs Committee, and he attacked a Wall Street practice, which has been going on for a long time, where companies buy back their stocks. You know, when the stock market goes down, they repurchase stocks or they add to their portfolios. A lot of the CEOs, people at the top, do this. And they see an opportunity, and they should be investing in their company. But for years, this has been going on. So what Senator Brown wants to do is impose a 2% excise tax on the value of any securities that corporations repurchase. And apparently, when Trump was in office, you may recall the Tax Reform Act, which was passed in 2017, that allowed more of these stock repurchases. So Senator Brown will be touching on that as well. Early Tuesday morning, nearly 1,400 workers at four Kellogg Company plants went on strike as their contracts expired. They're all members of the Bakery, Confectionery, Tobacco Workers, and Grain Millers Union, and they work at plants in Battle Creek, Michigan, Lancaster, Pennsylvania, Memphis, Tennessee, and Omaha, Nebraska. Anthony Shelton is the international president of the Bakers, and he said it this way: for more than a year throughout the pandemic, Kellogg workers around the country have been working long, hard hours, day in, day out, to produce Kellogg ready-to-eat cereals for American families. Well, guess what? The company is threatening to send jobs to Mexico if members do not accept their severe contract proposals. He went on to say, "We are proud of our Kellogg members for taking a strong stand against this company's greed, and we will support them for as long as it takes to force Kellogg to negotiate a fair contract that rewards them for their hard work and dedication and protects the future of all Kellogg workers." Scott Stone is a 14-year mechanic at the plant in Battle Creek, and he said, "I'm on strike to make sure we maintain our benefits and take care of our future members." By the way, this news comes only a couple of weeks after the Bakers Union ended their weeks-long, almost 4 weeks, multi-state strike against Nabisco upon securing a new four-year contract guaranteeing annual wage hikes, bonuses, increased employer contributions to employee 401k plans. Well, Kellogg stock surged during the pandemic, and in the first two quarters of this year, the cereal conglomerate already has reaped more than $7 billion in revenue. $7 billion. Now, not urging this, but a lot of people say, you know what, maybe we should boycott their products. And here they are, just a couple of them: Cheez-Its, Pringles, Pop-Tarts, Frosted Flakes, Fruit Loops, Rice Krispies, Corn Flakes, and Eggo Waffles. That's just a few. But some of the members are saying that's a good idea. Others saying maybe not, because you're obviously going to hurt the workers down the road, but that's kind of your call. UAW announced on Saturday that the union has reached a tentative agreement with John Deere for a new contract. The union said it has made significant progress on negotiations, though more details have not been released, as the proposed contract now goes to UAW members for a vote on Sunday, October 10th. Ray Curry is the president of the UAW. He said our UAW John Deere national bargaining team worked tirelessly to create substantial gains for members. We want to thank the team and their families who sacrificed time apart on behalf of UAW members. Chuck Browning is a vice president and director of the union's agriculture implement department, and he said substantial hard-fought gains and protections were achieved due to the efforts of the UAW negotiators, supported by the solidarity of our members. Last month, the members who work for John Deere voted to authorize a strike, and over 12,000 workers will be covered under that new contract. That's another profitable company, and a very good company, too. I mean, they make very, very good products, John Deere. Well, on Tuesday night, this is a fascinating story out of New York. Agents with the FBI raided the Manhattan office of the Sergeants Benevolent Association, SBA, a union that represents the New York City Police Department's sergeants. It's also the home of Ed Mullins, who has served as the union's president for nearly two decades and was the apparent target of the investigation. Mullins, turns out, is a very outspoken Trump supporter who last year declared war on the city's mayor, Bill de Blasio, imploring then President Trump to send in the feds, who was recently described by the mayor as a man with endless hatred. Well, he resigned Tuesday night. Spokeswoman for the FBI explained that the federal agents, quote, were conducting a law enforcement operation pursuant to an ongoing investigation, end of quote. Well, the executive board of the SBA, again, that's the Sergeants Benevolent Association, which has been dubbed a hate group by some and has a history of sexist, homophobic, and racist tweets, sent a letter to union members declaring that the nature and scope of this criminal investigation have yet to be determined. However, it is clear that the president, Mullins, was apparently the target of the federal investigation, and the FBI says they have no reason to believe that any other member of the SBA is involved or targeted in any manner. That is so fascinating story, my God. All right, we have to take a break. When we come back, we're going to link up with Brian Kelly, talk about Zantac and CPAP machines. What's the latest going on? You'll find out next on America's Workforce.
This is America's Workforce.
It takes LIUNA to build North America's infrastructure. From roads and bridges to schools and skyscrapers, the men and women of LIUNA, the Laborers International Union of North America, build the projects we depend on. From constructing the Freedom Tower on the site of the former World Trade Center to untangling Washington, D.C.'s congested interstate, LIUNA members do the work that matters. Find out what it takes to be built by LIUNA at LIUNA.org. That's LIUNA.org.
Have you or a loved one been diagnosed with prostate, breast, or any other cancer after taking Zantac? You may be entitled to compensation. The trial lawyers at Kelly & Ferraro may be able to help you. Find us at KellyandFerraro.com. Kelly & Ferraro, trial lawyers.
Nurses, doctors, and caregivers at the VA are under attack. They face hostile management, callous agency heads, and an administration that's stomping all over their ability to speak up for our veterans. Unions are even being kicked out of their offices, a direct attempt to silence the voice of VA employees. When VA workers are under attack, veterans pay the price. Costly privatization and outsourcing will run rampant, meaning fewer services and worse quality of care for our nation's heroes. It's time to stand up for the workers who care for our veterans. Paid for by the American Federation of Government Employees.
America's Workforce is sponsored in part by Boyd Watterson Asset Management, LLC. Find out more about our investment solutions tailored to meet the needs of Taft-Hartley funds at BoydWatterson.com.
From the Golden Gate Bridge to the St. Louis Gateway Arch, the Sears Tower, and just about every building, bridge, and structure in between, our cities and towns wouldn't be the same without ironworkers. With over 3,000 contractors employing more than 130,000 highly trained ironworkers and 20,000 apprentices, the Ironworkers Union stands ready and able to shape the future of our skylines. Learn more at ironworkers.org. Ironworkers, the sky's the limit.
Now, back to America's Workforce. Here's Ed Flash Ferens.
And don't forget, you can check us out on Facebook and follow us on Twitter. Twitter handle, real simple, AWF Union Podcast, AWF Union Podcast. Before we get to Brian Kelly on behalf of Kelly and Ferraro, I just want to mention, 2 days ago, we did a show with one of the affiliated unions with IATSE. Now, IATSE is the International Association of Theatrical and Stage Employees, and they voted 98%. 98% of the members voted to go on strike, which could happen at any time. At any time. And I just want to mention, In These Times magazine did a profile on some of the workers, and one of them said she's been working 12 days at a time for as long as 22 hours a day. 22 hours a day. Now, if IATSE ends up going out on strike, it would be the largest private sector strike in the country since 2007, when 70,000 General Motors workers walked off the job. Well, if you're working that long, I understand there's a frustration point, and you say, wait a minute, am I really getting compensated for what I'm doing? Sounds like an attorney working. Let's go to our lifeline and join Brian Kelly. Brian has been with Kelly and Ferraro since, 10 years now, Brian? Is that right?
Yeah, it's been about 10 years I've been an attorney there, Flash.
I'm sure some days feel like 22 hours to you, right?
They definitely do, especially in the last year and a half here. So, yeah. But it's fun. The guys at the firm are great, and the girls are, everybody treats each other like we're a small little family. So
some
days are longer than others.
That's how it is, especially when you're prepping for a trial. Well, we got two big cases going on. And the number one case, and getting a lot of national attention, is the Zantac recall. And a lot of people are wondering, why is this being recalled? And I guess there's a new version of Zantac on the market, which is kind of adding more confusion to what's going on. But this all has to do with a certain component. And for the life of me, I can't figure it out, because this component was used in rocket fuel. Now, I'm trying to picture a scientist saying, well, if it worked in rocket fuel, maybe it'll work as a as something that would cure someone's stomach ache. I don't know. I can't figure that one out. But why don't you start from ground zero here and tell us what's going on with Zantac?
Yeah, you're right. The chemical you're speaking about, its short form name is NDMA. And it's a chemical that was used in Zantac. And it's been used in many other things, including, like you said, rocket fuel, which I don't even understand how you even think to put something like that in there. Or if you're the rocket scientist, how you think, if I'm using fuel, maybe I should throw a couple Zantac pills in. You know, I don't get how they got there, but they did somehow. And so what happened was, and it's about 2 years from 2 years this month, that a study came out that started showing that Zantac can cause numerous types of cancer. There's about 10 different ones that have been linked to using Zantac. And so the first article came out in October of 2019. And then by, I believe it's January or February of the following year, they pulled it off the shelf. And they said, of course, Zantac said they pulled it off the shelf, or the FDA recommended it, and then Zantac did it voluntarily, pulled it off their shelf. And now have a new chemical and a new composition for the drug, which no longer coincidentally holds that NDMA. Even though Zantac claims it's completely safe, they've changed the formula and have put it back out. So it is a little confusing. I understand if people see, they're aware of this lawsuit that it causes cancer. They saw it was pulled off the shelves, and now you go back to your local Walmart or Walgreens and you see it on there, but it's a different chemical composition than the original one.
Yeah, I'm just fearful on how extensively the new one was tested, because, Brian, wasn't Zantac on the market since like 1984, and the recall just happened a couple of years ago?
Right, yeah, it's been out there about 20-some years, and that's one of the crazy things is, you know, people get complacent if they see something out on the market for that long, they assume it must be safe, and I don't know how it went 3 decades before anybody figured it out. But just because something's been out there, as you know, we've talked about in the past, you know, we do a lot of asbestos work, and asbestos was in every building for, you know, 50 years until they finally figured out that something was wrong with it, and they started pulling it out and regulating it. So just because Zantac was on the shelf doesn't necessarily make it safe. And it's important that anybody who, you know, took it and developed a cancer, even if you know, something that seems unrelated, you would think prostate cancer, which is unfortunately very common, you know, amongst older gentlemen. So you might have been diagnosed with that and not put two and two together. But yes, the heartburn medication Zantac has been linked to causing prostate cancer in particular, even breast cancer as well. So, you know, you think it this drug would only maybe affect your stomach or some of those organs that kind of deal with the digestive tract. But no, once that gets in your system, it can cause havoc on many different types of body parts or organs. So it's important if you've ever taken Zantac and you've been diagnosed with something, to give us a call. And it's always free, and we'll talk you through it and let you know if we think you have something, or if you don't, the only thing it's going to cost you is your time. So, you know, I encourage everybody to get out and do that.
And that toll-free number they practice nationwide is 800-398-1795. 800-398-1795. Brian, any idea how many people might be affected by this? I know you're still in the process of unwinding all of this, but any speculation on that?
Yeah, I can tell you right now, nationwide, there is over 125,000 cases that have been filed. So, and that's just that's been filed right now. So I'm sure there's plenty of other people who have been affected and did not either opt to do a lawsuit or are taking their time. And I encourage everybody that, not to get too much in the legalese here, but there's a thing that is referred to as statute of limitations. And in Ohio, it's basically, you know, you have 2 years from once the knowledge was out there to file a claim. So like I said, the reports kind of came out 2 years ago this month. Now, we argue that it wouldn't be 2 years until it was pulled off the shelves. But the point I'm making is, you know, you can take some time to think about it, but, you know, I encourage anybody who's on the fence to give us a call right now, because you don't want to be left out. You know, it's like if you get in a car accident, you can't sue somebody 5 years later. You got to kind of let them know. So, you know, there's, like I said, over 125,000 across the country who have already put claims in, and the time is starting to run. So I believe that number is going to go way up in the final few months when, you know, people's backs are against the wall. But it's I believe the number of people affected is even much, much higher than that. It's just that, you know, people didn't want to get involved in it. Or as you mentioned before, this drug has been on the market since, you know, the early 1980s. You know, there was some people, unfortunately, who probably took it, developed cancer, and passed away a decade ago. And, you know, didn't have you might think that they didn't have a recourse. But if you're a family member who had somebody pass away from a cancer like that, you can also give us a call, because just because the science wasn't up to date at the time doesn't mean that they're barred from getting their, I don't want to call it justice, but from getting, you know, some type of compensation for, you know, their unfortunate cancer.
Wow, that would really open the floodgates then. That's amazing. So the best advice you can give our listeners, and we have a national audience, we're on five platforms now, and that toll-free number is 800-398-1795. If you, say, develop prostate, pancreatic, and all these cancers are on the website, colorectal, liver, stomach. So if you develop those cancers and you've been taking Zantac, you recall taking Zantac, just call that number? Is that the best advice you can give?
Yeah, that's the best advice I can give. And I have people who call all the time. You know, we like you said, you're national, so are we. So we have clients everywhere from California to Florida and New York. Sometimes they call me and say, you know, I don't have any receipts, or I don't have the box. That's okay.
Yeah.
You know, no one expects you to have your CVS receipt from 2006 that showed that you had Zantac, or, you know, you don't even need to be prescribed. It was sold over the counter. All you had to do was walk into a store. Don't worry about that. We'll take care of that. We'll figure out a way to prove your usage of it. So just give us a call, and, you know, that's my best advice to you. Like I said, the only thing it costs you is your time. And if it's a 15-minute phone call and we decide if we think we have something, we go with it. If we decide, you know, unfortunately, it's not. And the interesting thing is the science is still out there of how much it is or how much you needed to take. There's some scientists or some studies that show that even if you only took it for about 6 months, that might be enough. You know, it's kind of like smoking cigarettes. Nobody knows the exact number of cigarettes you had to smoke before it was dangerous to you, whether it was somebody who smoked two packs a day for 50 years or, you know, just one pack a day when they were a teenager. you just give us a call and we'll figure all that stuff out for you.
I'm reading, too, about the symptoms. Symptoms include fever, nausea, vomiting, jaundice, dizziness, abdominal cramps. So anybody suffering from those who experience symptoms, especially for a long degree of time, you might want, well, number one, see your doctor. See your doctor, and your doctor will probably give you some good advice. He'll probably ask you if you've been on Zantac, and maybe you should file that claim and call that number, 800-398-1795. Where are we with this whole trial? I know you've been gathering a lot of evidence, talking to a lot of people, answering the phone, but what part are we in right now?
We are still in what we call the discovery phase. So this is the going through documents. We get to start kind of talking to some of their representatives to see what they knew and when they knew it. I believe there was some depositions that just happened last month over in Europe, because this is, even though we're talking about this being countrywide, it's global wide for some of these things. Some of these executives and some of these companies did have some foreign components to it. So we're hoping that a trial will be done sometime next summer, or this coming summer, I should say, since it's already fall. So it is moving along. And the nice thing is even though I've had some clients who signed up with us, you know, almost 2 years ago when this started, if you do call, you are put in the exact same spot as somebody who signed up 2 years ago. The reason being is this is what's called a multi-district litigation. So instead of having a judge in Ohio and a judge in, you know, Tennessee and a judge in Louisiana all making different decisions, all of these cases are grouped together in front of one judge down in Florida. So it's not too late. You get to go in and you almost get to cut the line, per se. So and that's good, because it gives you a little more consistency with some of these rulings versus people trying to find just the judge who's a little more favorable, or, you know, get in front of a Republican judge or a Democratic judge. And this one is supposed to be a little more independent and neutral.
There you go. It's crazy, the politics of today. You got to worry about what kind of judge you have.
Right.
I want a fair judge. Let's put it that way. Let's be real simple
exactly
about that. Brian, is this kind of like the when you talk about this litigation, it sounds like that you're familiar with what's going on with the opioids, and there's a big class action suit there. Isn't that consolidated as well? Is it very similar to that?
Yes, that's a great point, Flash. It's almost identical to that with the opioid, and of course that happened to be right here in Cleveland. So they tried to do the same thing, and, you know, determine that different parts of the country, you know, looked at this and were affected differently. So let's all put it together with one big consolidation. So that's exactly right, Flash.
All right. That toll-free number, 1-800-398-1795. You don't need the one anymore. I still keep saying that. 800-398-1795. Go to the website, too. Kelly-Ferraro, two L's in Kelly, two R's in Ferraro. Kelly-Ferraro.com. And you could read about everything that Brian's talking about, all the different cancers, the symptoms, and all that. So do check that out. Brian, I'm going to take a quick break. When we come back, there's another recall. This involves CPAP machines, and well, I tell you, there's a number of them. Those are all posted on the website, too. We'll run down that case. And later in the show, Senator Sherrod Brown will be joining us. Back in a few minutes.
You're listening to America's Workforce with Ed Flash Ferens.
It takes LIUNA to power North America with affordable energy. The men and women of LIUNA, the Laborers International Union of North America, have the skills needed to build and maintain oil, natural gas, nuclear, solar, and wind projects that are shaping America's energy future. From new energy tech to retrofitted facilities, LIUNA members do it all. Find out what it takes to be powered by LIUNA at LIUNA.org. That's LIUNA.
Have you or a loved one been diagnosed with cancer after taking Zantac? If you have taken Zantac and have cancer, you may be entitled to compensation. The trial lawyers at Kelly & Ferraro may be able to help you. Find us at KellyandFerraro.com. Kelly & Ferraro, trial lawyers.
The United Steelworkers of America represent over 70,000 workers in the state of Ohio. Steelworker members enjoy the benefits of some of the best contracts of any workers in the world. Many of your friends, neighbors, and relatives are members of one of the most effective Democratic unions in our country. With the pressures unorganized workers are under in today's economy, you need to join them. So call the Steelworkers Organizing Office at 216-292-5683 or toll free at 1-800-443-3752.
The United Auto Workers are one of the largest and most diverse unions in North America, with members in virtually every sector of the economy. Learn more about this proud sponsor of our program at uaw.org.
Union members need to be heard. Reliable and convenient union voting has never been more important than it is now. Make voting easy for your membership by working with survey and ballot systems. SBS offers encrypted and monitored solutions that ensure your elections are accurate and accessible for every member through mail-in, online, and in-person voting. Visit surveyandballotsystems.com and take the next step in getting secure and auditable elections.
America's Workforce appreciates our sponsor, the Columbus Central Ohio Building and Construction Trades Council, who represents more than 18,000 workers from 19 affiliated local unions and district councils.
Now, back to Ed Flash Ferentz with America's Workforce.
And don't forget, we're available on 5 platforms. That includes Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Spotify, as well as Pandora. When you get an opportunity, just sign up and receive our shows on a regular basis. And give us a rating. We always appreciate a 5-star rating. Well, we got a 5-star law firm, maybe a 10-star. Kelly and Ferraro, proud sponsors of America's Workforce. Toll-free number, 800-398-1795, kelly-ferraro.com. Brian Kelly joining us. No relation to the Kelly of Kelly and Ferraro, is that right?
That's correct. Just knew the family very well, just a coincidence.
Okay, let's talk about this CPAP recall. And a lot of people, especially those who have trouble breathing, snoring at night, they're on these CPAP machines, many of them made by Philips Respironics. And apparently there's a defect in the machines and people are breathing things they should not be breathing. Brian, what's going on here?
Yeah, that's the newest one. You're right. Philips has been making CPAP, also BPAP ventilators. I would encourage anybody who has a Philips breathing product to give us a call, because I won't go through them all, but there's about 24 of them that have been recalled. And they started back in 2009. So again, even if you were using it and you're no longer using it, but you used to use it, give us a call. Essentially what they're saying is, There was an error in the design, and all of a sudden the oxygen that was flowing in to help you breathe at night and kind of get you through it was also putting some chemicals in there that were mixing that weren't supposed to. And so I know this is a difficult one, because people, it's almost a chicken or the egg thing, because now it's causing more cancers or causing more breathing issues. So there's people who would say, well, I already had breathing issues, that's why I was on this machine. Well, instead of making you better, there's a chance it made your breathing issues worse, or, oh, God forbid, caused a cancer that you would have never developed unless you were on one of these things.
Now, these machines have been on the market since 2009. When did they realize that they were faulty?
I believe it was April of this year. An exact date, it was April 26th. So it's only been a few months since everybody's kind of agree that we need to recall these and bring them back. So, you know, it's all been very, very current, and they did recall them. I don't know what Philips' position is, if they're allowing you to send it back in and get a different machine, or what they're doing. So I would say contact them, as well as contact us, for your legal recourse. But if you have one of these machines, and again, at the website, they list the exact model numbers of each one. I highly recommend you stop using it right away.
Yeah, there's many different versions. Again, these are all on the Kelly and Ferraro website, kelly-ferraro.com. So those of you who are listening right now that may have one of these machines, you should act accordingly. And from what I understand here, there's a foam, and they use this foam kind of like a sound barrier, because the machines are kind of loud at night. And am I correct in what I'm reading here?
Right. Yeah. So if you've ever used one, you know, or if you've ever, you know, slept next to somebody who used one, you know, it's not the quietest of machines. It is very loud. And so what they try to do is do their best to keep it quiet, because one, if you can't breathe at night, it's hard to fall asleep. But two, if it's you got a loud, it's hard falling asleep next to a loud machine or a motor, essentially. So they try to keep the sound down, and that might be one of the reasons of the defect.
And that foam or insulation, whatever it is, what it's doing is breaking down. And as it breaks down, it goes into the tube that goes into, what, your nostrils and eventually your lungs. And that's causing all kind of problems. Do we have any idea what kind of problems these are causing right now?
So right now, that's still what some of the studies are doing. They have linked it to numerous cancers. And then also they've linked it just to also, you know, things that you think you might have already had, such as increased coughing, chest pressure, you know, sinus infections, things that, you know, somebody who's on a machine would probably have if they didn't use it. So that's why it's kind of an interesting new claim here, or that people are a little hesitant because they think it's, no, I would have had this anyway. But no, these machines are doing the exact opposite of what they're promising you to do. They're no longer making it easier for you to breathe and clearing up chest issues. They're making it more difficult. And there are some studies right now that says that foam is causing different types of cancer. And once again, it's not necessarily the cancers you think it might be. It's not just a lung cancer or, you know, a throat cancer. They're linking it because once those chemicals get in your body, they wreak havoc on different organs. So don't think just because, you know, I may have developed bladder cancer and I was on this, that those two things aren't necessarily related, because they could be. And again, this is very, very early in the, I won't even call it litigation, because it's still, we're in kind of the fact-finding period, but it doesn't hurt to sign up early or to look into it early, just to be there instead of, you know, putting it off.
Is this going to have like a statute of limitations like the Zantac recall that you referred to?
Yes, it will. But like I said, or, you know, this one's so much earlier that you have plenty of time. Each state is different. Like you said, you're nationwide. So in Ohio, we have about 2 years from probably April. So it's nothing that's incredibly pressing, but some other states only do 1 year. And, you know, it's again, everything Kelly and Ferraro does is we don't get paid unless you get paid. And, you know, calling us and talking to us doesn't cost you anything. So, you know, give us a call. And as the science goes on, if at one point we think that, you know, you have a claim, and then if things change, we adjust and we say, mm-hmm. I'm sorry, you know, the science no longer agrees with your case, or, you know, some of these doctors are wrong. Have a great day. That, you know, we're not sending you a bill. It just goes on and you go from there.
How's Philips responding? You indicated that they're switching out some of the machines right now. Or is that what they're doing at this stage?
Philips is. I mean, they've called them all off the market, and I know they've told you to contact them if you have one of these machines. I don't know if they're replacing them with a different machine or if they're giving you money back. That I don't know for sure, but obviously they care enough to call them off the market. Like I said, it's about two dozen of them. So if they didn't think, in my mind, something was wrong with it, you don't pull a very popular selling product off the market unless you think something might be behind it.
Yeah. So at this stage, the best advice you can give our listeners is to, well, number one, go to the website and find out if you have one of these machines. They're all posted on the Kelly-Ferraro website. And as Brian indicated, there's about two dozen of them. They have a bunch of different models here. And if you're having some problems like coughing, chest pressure, sinus infection, nausea, vomiting, these things could all be attributed to that foam that's breaking down and going into your lungs. And God knows what else is going to happen here. That foam scares me. I mean, we're talking cancer-causing chemicals. Who would think that there would be rocket fuel in a Zantac? I mean, come on. I mean, it's crazy. But any idea how many people could be affected? I know it's premature. I mean, the recall just happened, you know, in April. But any speculation on that?
I think I did read in an article, I believe that he said there was about 5 million machines out there. Of these. So I don't, you know, obviously not all those people who have developed the symptoms or diseases, but I believe they said they were recalling somewhere between, they estimated, I think it was around 5 million machines that they sold, which makes sense considering this has been since 2009. So you have over a decade of sales. And, you know, Philips is a very big company. So that's what they estimated might be the recall. I don't know the exact numbers, and obviously all those machines aren't still in circulation. But just because, as we discussed before, just because you stopped using it, you know, maybe you used a Philips from 2010 to 2015 and then you switched brands or you did something, doesn't mean that you weren't affected. So still give us a call or, you know, still look into it and do your best to figure out if you were using one of those machines to talk to your doctor and see what he gave you before.
All right. It's all posted on the website, kelly-ferraro.com. The toll-free number, 800-398-1795, 800-398-1795. Well, Kelly and Ferraro has been really, really involved, especially in asbestos and mesothelioma litigation. I'm just wondering, do you have time to still do all of that stuff? I mean, you got so many balls in the air here. I'm just wondering.
Yeah, no, we have about, I think, about 14 different attorneys. So there's different guys specialize in different things. We're just finishing up some of those. I've talked to you in the past, Flash, about the Roundup settlements. You know, so don't get me wrong. Unfortunately, as long as companies keep putting profits over people's health, we have more lawsuits, and we have plenty of people to take care of it and to, you know, look out for the injured worker or the injured person, as long as these billion-dollar companies keep saying we're going to turn a blind eye to some of these cancer-causing agents.
Yeah, if you go to that website, there's a lot of settlements that are posted there. One of them is $120 million. That one definitely got my attention. So that's why we have the trial attorneys of Kelly and Ferraro, and Brian Kelly is one of them. Brian, great job today. Thank you for what you do, and we'll do this again next month. It may not be you. It'll be somebody over there, but all of you over at Kelly and Ferraro are doing a great job, all right?
I appreciate it, Flash. It's always a pleasure to be on.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, Senator Sherrod Brown will be joining us.
This is America's Workforce. More shows available at awfradio.com.
It takes LIUNA to keep America running. Over 70,000 public employees are part of LIUNA, the Laborers International Union of North America, delivering critical services such as health care and emergency response, as well as maintaining roads and sanitation systems. Even the National Postal Mail Handlers Union, representing over 47,000 U.S. postal workers, is affiliated with LIUNA. Find out what it takes for LIUNA to keep America running at LIUNA.org. That's LIUNA.org.
There is unity and strength for workers.
We are the USW.
We are the USW.
The United Steelworkers.
The largest industrial union in North America.
We represent 850,000 members in the U.S., Canada, and the Caribbean.
We work in metals,
rubber,
chemicals,
paper,
oil refining, atomic energy, and the service sector.
We are steelworkers, standing strong and fighting for what's right.
Mesothelioma is a rare type of cancer caused by exposure to asbestos. If you were exposed to asbestos and have mesothelioma or lung cancer, the trial lawyers at Kelly and Ferraro may be able to help you. Find us at kellyandferraro.com. Kelly and Ferraro, trial lawyers.
The Heat and Frost Insulators and Allied Workers are proud to be a title sponsor for America's Workforce Radio. The Insulators Union is leading the way in the mechanical insulation industry, fire stopping, and infectious disease control. Regarded as North America's energy conservation specialists, these professionals are known for their professional work and dedication. You can learn more about the Insulators Union at insulators.org.
The AFL-CIO is a proud sponsor of America's Workforce Radio. United by efforts to raise wages, listeners to this show and workers all across America are beginning to turn a corner and drive the economic debate. The AFL-CIO is comprised of 12.5 million working people from 56 unions, but we stand with and fight for everyone who is working for a better life. For more information about our Raising Wages agenda, go to AFLCIO.org.
Now, back to America's Workforce. Here's Ed Flash Ferens.
And don't forget, you can check us out on Facebook and follow us on Twitter. Twitter handle is AWF Union Podcast. By the way, this next segment brought to you in part by the fine folks at the United Labor Agency, connecting people with employment and celebrating 50 years. Founded in Cleveland in 1971. You can find more at ulagency.org. Let's go to line number two. Welcome one of our regulars, Senator Sherrod Brown. Senator, how are we doing today?
Good. Good to be back with you. Thanks, Slash.
Well, there's a lot going on in Washington, and I can also say there's a lot not going on. There's a tug of war going on with this infrastructure bill. We have the bipartisan deal. It seems like the reconciliation package is holding things up. I'd like to get your take on what's going to happen here. Are we going to see some movement on this or what?
Yeah, we're going to see. I mean, President's agenda makes sense for our country. It will bring down the price of prescription drugs. We've talked about this for years. The whole idea of Medicare negotiating directly with the drug companies, we do it at the VA. It means drug prices are half of what they've been for veterans. That's the way we should do it. It will mean investments in highways and bridges and water sewer systems. It'll mean the child tax credit will be extended. It's about jobs, and it's going to make sense for the country. And I think we're going to do it within a month or so.
Well, we've got two senators that are holding out, Manchin and Sinema. What seems to be the issue? I hear the cost. There's Manchin saying it's too expensive, but this reconciliation package, from what I'm reading, kind of pays for itself by raising taxes on those over making over $400,000. What's the issue here?
That's exactly right. The whole point of this is unlike the big Trump tax cut that gave that 70% of the tax breaks went to the richest people in the country and big corporate interests. This bill is paid for by people who have gotten a break on their taxes, and firefighters and teachers and workers have paid more than their fair share for decades. And it's time that people, that big corporations and people making over $400,000 pay their fair share. So we're going to pay for these, for all of these programs, expansion of the child tax credit, the biggest tax cut for workers in a generation. We're going to pay for that by just making sure that wealthier people pay their fair share. So it's a simple concept. It's something we've talked about in this show, Flash. It's something we've tried to make happen. It's going to happen with this bill. And we need to pass it sooner rather than later.
So you feel, even the way Manchin and Sinema are right now, you feel that they're going to eventually cave in, or they're going to water down the bill? Because I'm hearing that Biden may go down.
I think they're going to scale it back a little bit. I mean, one of the two doesn't think corporations should pay more. I don't know why she thinks that, but she thinks that corporations. But we will do some compromise. But this bill will invest. It'll be transformational investment in housing and education and infrastructure. The child tax credit is so important. It's a tax break of $250 a month or $300 depending on the age of your child. For 90% of Ohio's children, those families. So it's a broad-based middle-class tax break. And I think in the end, both the two Democratic holdout senators will support it. We'll have to change it a little bit, but it's so important for the future of our country. I use the word transformational. It really is. I mean, it means that finally the wealthy in this country will pay their fair share, and workers will benefit from this, both in terms of jobs and in terms of tax breaks.
Senator, I have to ask you, how's Biden holding up here? Because the poll numbers show that he's taking a hit on all this. He can't get a consensus going on. There's the border wall situation and all that. But I know you deal with him a lot, but I'd like to get your perspective. How's he handling all this right now?
Yeah, personally, he's holding up fine. I mean, the problem for President Biden is that there's this division of the Democratic Party, but the division is 48 Democrats on one side and two on the other. And the margins are so narrow because Republicans just don't want to play. Keep in mind, every single Republican voted against the child tax credit twice. The tax credit, the tax break that goes to 90% of Ohio's kids. So Republicans aren't playing it straight. They want Biden to fail. But Biden's holding up fine personally. His poll numbers are down, but that happens to every president. They go up, they go down. he had a great first 6 or 7 months now with the resurgence of the Delta variant and the fact that so many governors have opposed him on getting people vaccinated. And the Delta variant's gotten way worse in those states and affected the whole country. So it's a low point for the president, but he's still hanging strong. And we passed this agenda. It just means everything for him and for the country.
Yeah, it's never a straight line. I do understand that. I want to talk about corporations buying back their stock. I saw this story a couple of weeks ago. I know you sit on the Banking, Housing, and Urban Affairs Committee, and you've introduced, or I don't know if you've done it already, a piece of legislation that would impose a 2% excise tax on the value of any securities that corporations repurchase. I know this has been going on a long time. Can you give us some details on that? And
it's one of the taxes that we should levy against big corporations and against the wealthiest executives to pay for this Build Back Better. It used to be illegal for a company to buy back their stock. It was considered stock manipulation. Years ago, by a Republican Congress, it was in a corporate-dominated Congress, it was made legal. So 4 years ago, when the Trump tax cut, the big tax giveaway to the rich passed, the supporters of it, including the president and the Republican Senate, said that this tax cut will trickle down and it will really help workers. It'll mean higher wages, more jobs, all that. Well, it didn't work that way. Instead, they took these huge tax breaks and they bought back their own stock, which brings up the stock price of the stocks they already hold. So It's another way to enrich the executives. And so what we're saying is if they're going to do that, then we're going to tax it. A tiny tax, 2%, it'll bring in tens of billions of dollars. Some cases they might quit doing it, but it will bring in significant revenues and we'll use that to pay for Build Back Better. So it's a practice that's, I think, pretty bad, but it's become acceptable in corporate America. And we're saying if you do it, you're simply going to pay this tax and that'll bring a lot of revenue to the Treasury to pay for the middle class tax cut and to pay for housing and to pay for education.
And that piece of legislation has been introduced already then?
That bill, that is going to be part of the big package we're passing. I've introduced the bill some time ago, and we've got it in the package, the Build Back Better package, to help pay for it.
Yeah. I understand, too, there's a lot of pro-union components to that bill as well to incorporate the PRO Act, and you and I have had many conversations on that over the years because people, especially that want to join a union, there's too many roadblocks on that. But that's another issue. One more thing here, and apparently you have bipartisan support on this that would help law enforcement investigate fentanyl and protect police officers. Can you explain that part?
Yeah, we were able, Senator Portman and I did this together, the Power Act back, the bill to give our agents at the border handheld devices to be able to quickly detect fentanyl, which is 50 times more powerful than heroin. So if you're exposed to fentanyl, if you even breathe it in, it can cause major health issues, maybe even be deadly. So these we simply don't have enough of these handheld devices. So we want to get these to law enforcement around the country so that and not just on the border, but so they can make a determination quickly in an arrest. Do they have fentanyl? And we have to be cautious in what we do. And then they can charge the suspect if it in fact is fentanyl that they're peddling. Otherwise, you have to send it off to a lab and it just takes too long. So and you can't really make the arrest. So this is really a way of helping law enforcement in a way that can really matter.
Yeah, it's called the Power Act, which stands for Providing Officers with Electronic Resources. Good stuff. Senator, I know you got to go. Thank you so much for what you do. We'll do this again next month, okay?
Thanks, Flash, for doing this again.
All right, that's it for another edition of America's Workforce. Coming up tomorrow, we're going to check in with the Iron Workers Local 512. And Fred Redmond, Secretary Treasurer, the AFL-CIO, will be joining us. Until then, all of you have a safe and wonderful day.
That concludes another episode of the America's Workforce Radio Podcast. Thanks for listening, and be sure to subscribe so you never miss a show. America's Workforce is a production of Labor Tools and BMA Media Group.
find out more information online at labortools.com.